So Michaela Wooler joins us now, Board of Commissioners. Remind me which district you serve.
I serve District 3, which is southwestern Lincoln County.
Southwestern part of the county. Any part of North Platte included in that, or is it all?
Yep, we each start at the courthouse and branch out from there. So if you live inside this.
Southwest of the courthouse, just head into the southwest portion of the county, right?
Okay. Yep. I go all the way down.
You got to bring me a map sometime so I can have a visual on that.
I will,
you
know, but there's like one on our website too. Okay. So, but yes, I'll bring you a map next time I come in, Corey.
Or I can go on the website. I mean, gee whiz, it's just such a pain to have to go on the website and search for a map. I tell you, I don't know about that.
We make it pretty easy for people to find us and find out who their commissioner is. But we are not territorial. So if you have
You're not territorial.
We are not. If you have something going on in your district, you can talk to any
of us. Nobody will get upset if somebody outside of your district talks to a commissioner. It's not your district representing you.
You are correct.
Because you're interchangeable. That's nice to know. That's
we represent
very
all
friendly.
The people.
Very friendly. So pretty looked like a pretty standard, pretty easy to tackle agenda for you yesterday morning. Anything big that stood out, what you dealt with?
Yeah, we had the sheriff's office come in to see us on a couple of issues. The first one, Captain Newton talked to us along with the jail staff team, Penny and Sergeant Connell.
Sergeant.
Came in and talked to us about purchasing tasers. It had been many years since they had acquired tasers for the deputies and the jail staff. And they have, we learned, a lifespan of about 5 years.
I didn't
5 to 8 years. I didn't know that either. And Captain Newton
even
educated.
Even if you don't use them, huh?
Yeah, they apparently have components in there that get weak over a period of time. And
Who'd have thought of that?
If I want to tase somebody, I want it to work at full power. So
I think so. If I need to pull out a taser and use it, I wanted to make sure it's good to provide the full force it's intended to give, for sure.
It was interesting to learn that they are a motivator for compliance, that many times the deputies don't even need to activate them. Just putting that dot on the person seems to get compliance most of the time.
Yeah, I think that would deter me if I was going into a rampage. Fortunately, I avoid that most of the time.
Yes. So I felt, their request was reasonable and good for the deputies that are out dealing with people who sometimes want to hurt them.
How much do tasers cost in this day and age?
Well, so they purchased 28 for the detention center, and that total amount will be $126,000. So about $4,100 a piece.
$4,100 or so. Yeah. But they last, like you said, 5 to 8 years.
Five to eight years, yes.
Do they have a warranty on them if they go bad before?
Yes.
5 years. That's the way I think, I want that warranty on it.
They did actually get trade-in on the ones that they currently have. So I don't know if they can be reconditioned.
They get a little money for that then? Just like
they got trade-in value.
Okay. Well, good deal. So you just have, it's part of your job to approve that, basically?
Yes.
Because it's you budget a certain amount for them, and then is it, of course, your budget is for the whole sheriff's office and what they need as a whole, so this kind of, they're kind of saying we'd like to use a portion of our budget that you allot for us for the purpose of tasers in this case this year, right?
The budgets, for the most part, the things that they can predict that they need have separate line items, and so they will budget specifically for vehicles and
so probably last year going into the fiscal year, this was on the budget they submitted because they saw that we were going to have to replace them, right?
So there was enough money in there to cover – full purchase on one set of tasers, and then the other tasers they're going to do on a no interest 60 month with the company that provides them. So they're very good partners. They're super aware of the budget and very fiscally conservative over at the sheriff's office. So they always do all the work and bring it to us. This didn't need to go out for competitive bids because this is a company that there's not much competition for it. So, but they did come before us and presented. It's good for us to know what equipment they're
acquiring. So did you vote on it?
Or yes, we did.
And approved it so they can go ahead and get the new tasers there?
Yes.
Good. And then the other thing you discussed and considered a letter of support for the Sheriff's Office concerning Union Pacific Railroad, a grant application. Tell us what that's about.
So they are, Deputy Jeremy Parker and Captain Newton came in and they made us aware that they were interested in applying for the Union Pacific Community Ties Grant.
Okay.
The grant amount is $30,000. As I'm sure you're aware, our deputies spend a lot of time, you know, dealing with railroad issues, whether it's people jumping on the trains, nefarious activity inside the yard, railroad crossings. They do accident investigations.
I guess I'm not very aware of that. I guess I need to get aware of that.
Yeah.
They spend a lot of time up by the tracks, especially Bailey Yards in that area. Huh?
Yeah, they do. Huh. And then the great thing about this grant is they're applying so they can purchase a drone, a high-quality drone that will help with Captain Newton used, for example, when we had the chemical explosion in the rail yard. They said this drone will be able to get right down and actually read the label that was on the car container.
Wow.
So keeps humans very safe.
That would be nice.
So he spent a great deal of time, and the Deputy Parker is a certified drone pilot. And so they have all the everything in line that they need. So it's our hope. I penned a letter of support. It's our hope that Union Pacific will grant them the $30,000. The drone they're looking at was $33,000. So then the county would need to pay the balance on that. And I think it's a great investment. And it can be used anywhere for any situation. It's not just for use along the railroad.
Yeah. So the question that pops in my head with that is, how does that work? You know, when they want to have that drone, is that specifically to cover Bailey Yards, basically, or can be used for any use that they feel like is necessary for help them out with their law enforcement duties?
Any use.
So. Do they have to get permission though from UP to run it over the yards at all, or?
You know, that's a great question. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I would imagine that, you know, like my son has a drone. There is protected airspace in and around.
That's what I wondered. Yeah.
Lincoln County, but I don't know if that applies if they have a special license. I would imagine if there's an emergency situation going on, they would have the authority to just fly in.
So just to clarify here, Union Pacific has made the grant application.
They have the grant fund. Yep. It's called Community Ties.
So they've got the money, essentially?
Yes.
For the drone. And it's $30,000, so anything that the county would want above that, you would have to approve.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So we're looking at, they want, the sheriff's office is looking at a $33,000 drone. UP has a grant for $30,000.
Yes.
Okay.
So great, UP is great partners with the Lincoln County community, probably every community that their tracks run through. So
I would think they would want to have good relationships with every community they run through.
So we really appreciate them, you know, having this grant fund opportunity for us. And if we don't get it we probably won't get the drone.
So did you vote on that?
We did, and it was unanimous.
Okay, so the county's going to pay the extra $3,000 then
for
them to get the drone they want?
Yep, if it happens, okay. We certainly will.
How much does it cost to ship a drone?
I have no idea.
I get all these weird questions popping in my head. Okay, a drone costs $33,000, but there must be a shipping cost added on to it, I guess.
There might be, or yeah. Maybe we go get it. So
that could be too.
Or maybe they bring
it
to
us.
And
where are drones made?
I have no idea. You do have a lot of questions.
I'm very curious. Very curious. Anyway, so you approved it, so that's I imagine in the next few weeks they'll probably be acquiring it and testing it out, huh?
Well, I think they wouldn't find out about whether they received the money or not until maybe early fall. So.
Okay. All right.
I would imagine there's going to be a lot of grant applications, you know.
Okay.
So we'll wait and see.
Like
so our vote for this like yesterday was just to approve the letter of support.
The letter of support.
Yes.
For the sheriff's office to be able to purchase.
To apply for the grant.
They apply for it. Okay. Yeah. They're applying for it.
Actually, Mid-Nebraska Community Foundation is helping them apply for it. So.
Okay. So UP has a, okay, it says here Union Pacific grant application.
Mm-hmm. Union Pacific has the funding. It is their grant program.
Okay.
Eric Sechrest and the Mid-Nebraska Community Foundation will be the pass-through. Okay. So grant application monies, I'm sure you're aware of, usually have to go through a nonprofit organization to the final recipient.
Okay.
So that is their connection there.
Okay. All right. Well, we look forward to new, and maybe some, that'd be a good topic to have somebody from the sheriff's office on sometime talking about drones and what they use them for. And
I'm sure they'd love to come over and explain it.
Not like the ones we had all that hullabaloo on the East Coast in New Jersey with all the people taking pictures of drones and nobody from the government would say what they're for and all that. I don't think we have to worry about that too much here, hopefully.
I would imagine not. I believe they would love to be transparent about it. It's good for the people to know the capabilities that our law enforcement
has. I think so. And then you dealt with receiving bids for the Lincoln County Department of Roads asphalt projects. And this is number two of the year?
Yes.
2025-02 indicates a second project on the list?
Correct.
So how'd that go?
It went great. Mm-hmm. We have two incredible vendors for asphalt in Lincoln County that always show up for us, always bid the projects. They're super good partners. This is for asphalt projects out in subdivisions around Lake Maloney.
Okay.
And so the bid from each company was exactly the same. So that really makes it difficult.
Have you ever dealt with that situation before?
We've had it be close in the same window, but never down to the penny.
So what'd you do to solve that problem?
So we rely on the expertise of our Lincoln County Department of Road Superintendent and his deputy, Jason Schultz and Brian Gloss. Mm-hmm. They took a little recess and went out into the hallway and look over the documents. They really get into the weeds. And so when they came back with their recommendation, it was simply the time frame that one company could do it that got them the bid.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
Yep. But great.
Sooner the better.
Great partners. We thanked them both for showing up like they always do for Lincoln County. And it'll be nice to have some new asphalt out and around the lakes.
Sure, the folks out there will really, put up with brief inconvenience to have the roads in very good shape for a while. So who won the bid then?
That's a good question.
Stump the commissioner.
I have to look at my notes here. Shellco Construction.
It's always my goal to make you refer to your notes at least once, okay?
Actually, I stole Chris Brenz's notes because I'm opening the envelopes and reading the information.
In full transparency, and, like you talked
Chris
about,
takes
right?
good notes. I can always read his writing. Shulko. So.
And when's the project going to start, and when's the completion date?
So it's projected to start July 21st, and it'll be done by August 22nd. So about a 30-day window there.
Oh, just about a month, yeah.
Yeah.
Good deal. Those guys are going to be sweating pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing asphalt in the heat of the summer.
No,
not probably the best time to do it.
Not at all. Anything in the reports at the end of the meeting that you'd like to mention?
I gave a quick report, legislative report. I was down in Lincoln last week watching how the legislative process works. It's always interesting, and I learn a lot when I go down there. So I gave a quick report on that, and that was about it.
Anything, any pending legislation that could affect how the county operates?
The county has been very involved in the inheritance tax legislation.
That's right. That's a big source of revenue,
isn't it? It is a huge source of revenue. And while we're all on board with eliminating taxes, our stance is we need guaranteed
that.
Replacement revenue, something sustainable.
Yeah, if you're going to get rid of the inheritance tax, we've got to find a replacement revenue.
If the legislature decides to just eliminate that and leave it up to the counties to find that replacement revenue, that's a very big concern for us. Okay. So that would, I mean, the only way we've can do the services in Lincoln County that our residents have come to expect is generally through property tax increases.
Yeah.
And I've never talked to a resident that said, oh, please raise my property valuation so I can pay more
in
taxes.
And that's probably what you'd have to do, right, if you don't have another source
it's
of revenue.
It's really our only resource here in Lincoln County. So, but we have some great senators down there who are really working hard to figure this out for us, and the NACO organization. And everybody that works in the counties has a voice in this. So we've had a lot of support, and the process is working. It did advance to select files, so it's not over yet, but it's progressing
Which
through
is the
system.
The second of three rounds it has to clear before it goes to the governor. Let's come to Ashley. Ashley Lewis, you were at the commissioner's meeting, went there as part of the Lincoln County Nonprofit Collaborative. Is it collaborative or collaborative?
Collaborative.
Collaborative.
Either one?
Put either
your mic up. So as part of this group that was formed fairly recently, just to voice concerns about possibly not getting federal funds, right, pretty much? Is that the deal on that?
I guess our goal is to not speak for each other, but that we've been meeting as an ED group for a couple years now, just trying to support each other. You know, it's difficult, stressful world working in the nonprofits.
I'm sure it is,
some support is always great. When the possibility of federal funding cuts came down, that is a focus. You know, all of our agencies receive some form of federal funding. And so it became a united issue that we were trying to address. And it's more about supporting each other, making sure we're not competing for funds, trying to ensure we're not duplicating services. But all around just being there for each other and trying to ensure that we each have the support and the things that we need to make sure our organizations continue to function.
And you're representing the Connection Homeless Shelter. What's your title?
I'm the executive director.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of learning if you don't know their title, executive director is a pretty good guess. We had Eric Seacrest on. He's the executive director of the Community Foundation. It's like, go with executive director. Usually if it's, a higher title than they have, they'll probably be okay with that. They're probably not going to say, no, don't call me executive director.
Yes.
So you talk about your presentation a little bit, and the thrust of that obviously is probably trying to, if you don't get as much federally, try to make up the difference a little bit on a county level. Is that kind of what you're looking at?
I focused on that very little. Focus was mostly on the human perspective of what we do, trying to help raise awareness of the type of services the shelter provides, the many different ways that we help people. You know, we do stand to lose some funding, which is definitely scary. It would definitely decrease our capacity to serve the people we're serving when we're seeing increases in our numbers.
Yeah.
But the focus of most of our organizations is very human-centric. It's very about the people and trying to make their lives better. And I think that's something that we makes it easier to understand why we're doing what we're doing.
You just don't want to be in the position where you're having to turn people away simply because the money's not there to be able to do what you've been able to do, right?
Absolutely. Right. You know, people are still going to need assistance even if the money's not there. Yeah. And so you get creative. You find different ways to help people, more cost-effective ways.
Right.
You know, I worry about my staff. Like, what happens if we do have to lose capacity and we have to let some people go? That's more people entering into poverty who are going to struggle. And, you know, they do good work. So it's the people I serve. It's the people who serve with me. And just trying to make sure we can continue doing what we're doing.
You have a stressful enough position, I'm guessing, that it's daily pressure, and sometimes you probably feel like you're going to crumble. But with what you're dealing with a homeless shelter too, and people helping people in dire situations. I mean, this isn't a thing where they can just wait. You know, they need it immediately.
Right? Yeah,
most cases, they need some shelter to get out of a bad situation. We're going to be delving more into the particulars of this, so we'll not get into the details too much here today. But I got you scheduled, and you know you're on Thursday at 8:20, so we'll delve into the particulars more here in a couple of days.
So absolutely.
Corey, if you don't mind, I would like to say, for me, being in the room with Ashley when she was presenting, you know, we get a lot of reports and numbers, data, you know, it serves a purpose.
Right.
But it was the stories that she told, stories of success with the clients that she serves. I think it's important as community members that we understand, you know, most of us are blessed. We don't experience what Ashley is dealing with on a daily basis or even ever.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine what you're dealing with. I mean, even a one time would make an impression that would last a lifetime, but you're dealing with this every day.
Yeah, and she has a lot of success in the community that she serves. So I'm going to give a little plug for an event that's happening this week. Wednesday is North Platte Giving Day.
Yes, tomorrow. Yeah.
And so it was nice to have Eric in the room, Eric Seacrest from the Mid-Nebraska Community Foundation. They've had like an early giving portal open at their website.
Yeah, they're already over, I think, 68,000 I checked this morning, I think, is where they're at.
Just incredible how generous people in our community are.
It is, yeah.
They recognize the need. And so I'm going to encourage everybody, if you have it within your budget, that you can go and make a donation. The Connection Homeless Shelter is on the portal. And
there's 73 different nonprofits. I counted them up.
I scrolled through the list.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have something that is special in your life, there is an organization there that would make good use of your donation.
You know, one thing too, and we don't think about it, we think about when we get our tax returns. For those of us fortunate enough to get a pretty sizable amount from tax returns, we think of, we're thinking about how we're going to spend that, but it's all centered around us usually. Well, we should think about days like this and an opportunity to give to nonprofits, and this shouldn't just be a one day a year thing. This should be a thing where, okay, And my wife and I, we picked ministries that we support too on a regular basis. But this is like the same idea, basically. These are nonprofits that get a large share of their funds from this time of year, basically. They set their budgets around it because you got to have it. So you're like looking at it, Ashley, and you're waving the pom-poms. Right? Come on, yeah.
Absolutely. The collective impact that occurs because of North Platte Giving Day is amazing. Yeah. You know, if you only have $5 to give, it adds $5 from the other people.
A lot of people don't realize that adds up. I mean, you'd rather have probably, you know, 50 people give $10 than one person, you know, give $50, although it could be the same amount of money, but to have more people give what they can and spread it around, I mean, that's just good.
Yeah, it's an easy way to support your community. That's something we all need to do. You know,
we're
all in it together. So this is an opportunity to spend within your budget and support some great organizations.
Okay, well, thanks for coming in, and we'll have you back and talk more about what the Connection Homeless Shelter offers for the community. And go to northplattegiving.org. And they have a tote board on there. I think Prairie Art Center is leading right now. But that's not important. Just find a cause that you can be passionate about, or you think, hey, this is I'm on board with giving them some money, and just do it. Just, you know, don't think about it. Don't
hesitate. It's pretty easy.
They make it easy.
Yes,
for sure.
They do, and they make great use of the funds. Absolutely. So I don't think most of us would miss $5 here or there, or $105.
Give up a couple of fancy mochas or you know, whatever your drink of choice is. Just give up two or three a week for a few weeks, and just say, hey, know where it's going, and know it's gonna really be a big boost to these organizations. They need it. Michaela Wooler, commissioner, has been our guest this morning. Ashley Lewis with the Connection Homeless Shelter. Thanks a lot, ladies, for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Corey,
we'll
for
take a break.
Allowing us this time. We really appreciate it.